Georgia Virtue presents the Let Me Tell You Why You're Wrong podcast.
Thank you for downloading episode 309. This week, we had a State of the Union. Katusa says Kennedy's not Republican enough. Qualifying week. The ugliest EV. No TikTok for you. North Face shows its butt. Sexy foods. And liberal policies can push even hippies to the right. I'm Dave Roberts. With me is my part of this endeavor, Ken Pullen.
Hey, Dave. It's an interesting opening.
You know, we'll get into that story, but yeah, we need, you know, liberal policies will make you a conservative in short order. Did you see that Mike Tyson is going to fight Jake Paul?
I know. I'm looking forward to watching that. July 20th. I think Mike Tyson is going to knock that dude out.
I mean,
he's still in great shape.
I'm a big dude. I am almost 10 years his junior. You give me 6 months to ramp up for a fight, and you know, I probably take on anybody, not Tyson.
I wouldn't take on Tyson. Yeah, no chance.
Yeah, I mean,
I saw a picture of him earlier. I mean, he was sparring with this guy. Good grief, he is still amazing.
Look, I don't say that about many people that I would not step in the ring with.
Not Tyson.
Ain't no way. Tyson will murder me.
Yep.
I mean, maybe not in a street fight. I don't even think I can outrun him. I don't think I can run away fast enough. if he wanted to beat my butt, I don't think I can outrun him.
Nice.
But no, he's turned his life around. He's a very nice guy. But I tell you what, I would not go toe to toe with Tyson.
No chance.
Yeah, he's a striker.
I don't know how big Jake Paul is either. What is his size?
They're 10 pounds apart. I think one's 210, one's 220. Tyson lost a bunch of weight to get back into fighting shape. I think Paul put weight on to get into fighting shape, but I'm telling you that. And look, I could be wrong. But if that gambling bill goes through and we get it signed off on it for 1st of July, I'm gonna place my money on Tyson.
Yeah, Jake Paul's 6'1", Tyson's 5'10", and Jake Paul weighs a little bit less. This has 14 stones. I don't know what a stone is. This must be this is a UK website. I don't know what is a stone. How many stones is it? How many pounds is it a stone? But Tyson,
I think it's 210 and 220.
Tyson is a little bit heavier, though. That's all that
he
matters.
He is. And he has decades of experience in the ring and a decade experience fighting in prison.
Yep. This says Jake Paul has 26 million Insta followers and Mike Tyson only has 24.2. So that's probably going to make the difference.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, his Instagram followers are going to make the difference for him. Good God, man! Tyson's an animal. I mean, he was a striker, you know, when he was younger. He would take the punches, and if you got within his range, even though he's only 5'10", you didn't want to be within his range.
So a couple other things real quick. Time change would have happened a couple days ago when this episode drops. Thank goodness I am ready for more light in the afternoons. But I was in Orlando last week.
Says the golfer.
Yeah, says the golfer. But I was in Orlando last week and it was about 85 degrees. And I was like, oh my God, I am miserable. So I'm not sure. We always wanted to get out of winter and get to spring and summer. But God, it was hot in Orlando last week.
Orlando is special geographically.
Oh, it's hot.
It's in the middle of the state. You have no breeze. Now, if you're on the east coast of Florida, it's not so bad. Like I grew up in Fort Lauderdale area, and we always had a breeze because we were only a few miles from the beach. But if you're in Central Florida, you got nothing.
It was a little windy, but it was just hot. Goodness.
Did you play any golf?
I did, but then I went to the Arnold Palmer Golf Tournament, Bay Hill. So we saw, I went down there last Thursday. It's very cool.
Nice.
And Palmer's course.
Did you drink at Arnold Palmer?
No, I didn't.
Or John Daly?
Laid off of it.
Yeah, for those who don't know, the difference between Arnold Palmer and a John Daly is vodka.
Nice.
I mean, who doesn't like iced tea mixed with a little lemonade? That's quintessential summertime in the South.
Yeah, very true.
So we had Biden's State of the Union last Thursday. God!
Yeah, first he showed up about 20 minutes late to it. That's what I was wondering right away is why was he late? But after watching it, I think they were pumping him full of some type of chemical that kept him awake for an hour. Wow. That was interesting. Democrats were classless, shouting, four more years. I didn't know that was a campaign rally. I thought 4 more years. You think it's a message to the, to the people of the U.S. and to the chambers. I don't think the political chanting was very classy.
Class has left the building.
It has. I mean,
just look in regular life. People wearing pajama pants on airplanes.
Yeah, and I mean, your Congress lady. I met Marjorie Taylor. She came in with a T-shirt on and a baseball cap on. So that was strange. George Santos was there. If you remember the guy that got kicked out of Congress last year.
What the hell was he doing there?
I don't know. I have no. Well, he's actually running for Congress again. He's put in his paperwork. So he got kicked out of Congress. Now he's running again, I guess, in his district. But yeah, those were kind of like the weird things right off the get go.
Well, and Margie shouted him down at one point about something he said being not true or calling him a liar. Okay.
Yeah.
As we record, I watched it the night before.
I just think it was a strange. I thought Biden would come out and talk. I don't know. I guess I thought he would come out talking about the economy and even illegal immigration, since that's kind of the top of everybody's mind at the moment. But he literally started off for the first 10 or 15 minutes. He talked about Ukraine right away and how we've got to fund Ukraine and all that stuff. He talked about, our democracy is threatened like no other time since the Civil War. Like, who in the United States right now thinks their democracy is threatened like no time since the Civil War?
Every election is the most important election of our lifetimes. They say it every friggin' election year.
I agree, but I don't see democracy, whatever democracy is, I don't see it being threatened like no time since the Civil War. I mean,
and it's not, we're not a friggin' democracy.
He talked about January 6th, right? He said, you can't just love your country when you win an election. But the January 6th stuff's getting old. I mean, he called it an insurrection again.
It's getting a little long in the tooth.
It is. It is.
If you're going to compare January 6th to the firing at Fort Sumter, something is mentally wrong with you.
Yep. He criticized SCOTUS for overturning Roe versus Wade in 2022. And he basically, criticized them. They were sitting there. And then he threw out the, with no due respect, or with all due respect at the end. So it's like you criticize somebody, then you say with all due respect.
Well, that used to be a joke.
It was, right.
You can say whatever you want as long as you say
with all due respect.
With all due respect, yeah. You're a complete a-hole and you don't know how to lead your troops. With all due respect, sir.
Yep. And then he had two people in the audience. One was a lady that couldn't get an abortion after, I think, Alabama or either Texas enacted their strict, abortion laws. And then he had a lady there that couldn't get an IVF treatment after Alabama banned IVF treatments last week or a couple weeks ago. So that was interesting. He really talked about women a good bit and how women are going to vote this year and they're going to make a big difference because of not having access to what he calls reproductive care. I don't think abortion is reproductive care.
Well, he's not dumb in that. Well, at least Geppetto is not dumb in that.
No, that's true.
Because It was suburban women that turned against Trump. And it was over the dumbest stuff possible. It was over the grab him by the hoo-hoo or a comment that was supposed to be off mic and was a joke. And I have made way, way more crass jokes than that. I went to a bachelor party a couple years ago, and this was a Top Golf, so it was not like the movie Bachelor Party, like it's, you know, but it was full of doctors and lawyers, and they make the same crude comments and jokes that you know, I'm in construction field that construction workers make. You know, it's exactly the same. And for any, I guess women are kind of offended by it, but for any man who's ever had a conversation with another dude where you look around and there are no women around, it's crude. We are awful, awful, awful people, and we are blessed to have to have women love us, because Lord knows I don't know why my wife loves me.
So a couple other things he did too. He warned about, you know, another assault on freedom. But some of his policy positions were interesting. He talked a lot about billionaires again and taxing billionaires, which you can't tax. If you tax billionaires at 100%, you wouldn't get enough money to even make a dent in a national deficit. He wants to give $400 a month for the next 2 years to people to buy their first home or trade up for more space. I thought that was probably the craziest policy I've ever heard.
Man, that one ticked me off.
Oh yeah, I mean,
yeah, that one. I mean, that one. Yeah, that like.
So you're gonna give people $400 a month for the next 2 years, and we know how many government programs have you seen that ever end? So there's no way, but if we started giving people $400 a month for their house payment, that program would never end. We know that.
But why is it a penalty on me as you know,
that
my wife and I—
That you're just staying in your house? Yeah.
Yeah. We've been here 20 years.
Yeah, you wouldn't get it.
Very close to paying off the house.
Why is it a penalty for renters? I mean, renters are the same way, right?
Yeah. Why, exactly right. Is why do I have to pay the additional tax to give someone money to go buy a house?
Yeah.
How does that help me?
Well, I don't actually know where that came from.
If I actually get contracts to build houses, which I, you know, it might.
Yeah, but I don't know where that came from. I really don't. I've never heard of anything like that.
Out of left field.
Yeah, it was totally out of left field. And then,
so to speak.
Yeah, so to speak. And then, you know, you mentioned Marjorie Taylor Greene. She did interrupt at a certain point. And then, you know, she had buttons that said, say her name on the buttons. And she actually gave Biden one of these buttons when he came in, or a pen when he came in. And then she said something to him, like, say her name, I think, during the speech. So she yelled out, say her name. And he did say her name, but he actually mispronounced it and said Lincoln Riley instead of Lakin Riley.
And then from all the public stuff we've seen him, that is the smallest gaffe I've seen him make in 3 years.
But then I had to rewind this. He then went on after he said Lincoln Riley. He said, quote, but how many thousands of people being killed by illegals? So he basically admitted that there's thousands of people being killed by illegals. So what's the big deal with Lincoln Riley? I mean, it was just, and he, you know, he's off the cuff. That went on teleprompter. So it's just, I don't know. That came off really, really strange.
If I were working the Biden campaign, which I am not, I would advise him to stay on script. Do not ad lib. You're not good at it. It doesn't come off well.
Oh, he's terrible at it. Yeah, it doesn't come off good again. And then I don't know if you saw that the Gold Star dad, Steve, and I cannot say his last name, Nakui, I guess, was arrested. He shouted out during the speech about his son was killed in the withdrawal from, you know, Afghanistan, was one of the 13 soldiers that was killed, and they actually arrested him and charged him with a misdemeanor for interrupting a government act or something. So he actually got arrested last night, which is a shame.
Yeah, that's not going to stick.
No, it's not. It's just bad that they arrested the guy. I mean, yeah.
That will quietly go away. Now, you've got MTG who can shout, say her name, and then a father, he gets arrested, she doesn't.
Well, I mean, hell, they all ought to be arrested for stealing all our money from us. But yeah,
Well, yeah. I got a buddy who says that they should build a gallows outside of Congress and hang one every year, just so right. Other ones know it could happen.
So this lasted. I guess his speech lasted for about an hour and 15 minutes. I mean, it seemed like it was never going to end. Again, Democrats, three or four times during the thing, chanted four more years and started shouting four more years, which was
now
strange. Look,
the shouting at the president, I guess it kind of started with, in my memory, with John Roberts, when Obama said something about the Supreme Court and he shouted out, "That's not true."
Yep. I think we need more shouting at the president, to be honest. I wish.
You want to look like Parliament?
I want to look more like Parliament, where they shout back and forth. I mean, some of the stuff Biden said last night, they should have shouted at him.
You can kiss my bum.
I know. Well,
moving on, we got Catoosa County GOP refuses to qualify several people running as a Republican.
Yeah, so this has been a story. I don't know if we've mentioned it on here, but the GRA is a group in Georgia. It's called a Georgia Republican Assembly. It's really led by Alex Johnson. They introduced what they called an accountability rule last year, and they wanted the Georgia GOP to pick it up, and they wanted to make a motion at the state convention for Georgia to start doing this. But the Georgia GOP didn't, right? It didn't pass. But then they got a local county to try this. So the local county said that before you could qualify as a Republican candidate, you had to come in front of a committee of people that the Catoosa County GOP appointed, and you had to get interviewed. And then if they signed an affidavit, they would have to sign an affidavit at that point and say you could actually qualify as a Republican. So anyway, these four Republicans came in, or these four candidates came into the Catoosa County GOP this week, tried to qualify, and they wouldn't let them qualify. These are incumbents, too. Three of the four were incumbents, so they're already on Catoosa's County Board of Commission as Republicans.
And who is the attorney representing them for ballot access?
Yeah, so Alex Johnson and Catherine Bernard, who was on the show a couple weeks ago, are both representing the Catoosa County GOP. So there was an emergency hearing. There was actually three emergency hearings last week. There was one on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday morning. So each day, the judge in this case, and this was Superior Court Judge Don Thompson, ruled the four candidates should be able to qualify and be on a county's ballot. And he told the Catoosa County GOP on Tuesday to let them qualify. They didn't. So he came back into court Thursday. He told them they could qualify again. And the Catoosa County GOP chair lady, her name is Joanna Hildreth, she would not qualify them. And then they had another hearing on Friday. And the judge told her, he said, "Look, I'm charging you all $1,000 an hour right now per person that you're not qualifying. And your local party's got to pay this." And the judge also,
as if they have it. By the way, I believe Catherine was representing the four, not the Republican Party.
Yeah, she's representing she's representing the GOP. Yeah,
oh, is she?
Yeah, she's Alex's law partner. She's representing the Catoosa County GOP. So then the judge on Friday said that if y'all don't qualify these candidates, I could throw you in jail for contempt. He hasn't gone that far yet, but he ordered the local election board to qualify him last Friday at 1:00. So I don't have an update yet. They are going to be qualified as Republicans, but Catoosa County never qualified. I mean, it sounds like there's going to be another hearing about a month from now. I think it's March 27th to get to the bottom of this and even go further.
And, not to side with politicians here, but every minute that they are not qualified delays their ability to campaign.
Yeah, look.
If they go knocking on doors and handing out signs and stuff, and anybody who knows what's going on, certainly listeners to the show, could say, "You're not even qualified as a candidate right now."
Yeah, and there's a lot of problems with it. I mean, there's a couple other problems too. Like, The judge even asked the lady, that's the chair lady of the GOP party, he said, so what is the criteria for your committee to interview? Like, what are you looking for when you ask these candidates questions? And she had no answer to that. So they said, you've got to go in front of this committee, but the committee, she had no answer for what type of questions would qualify somebody to be a Republican or not, right? She had no answer to that question. So if you're going to create this committee that interviews people, at least you got to have some kind of criteria when you go in front. And then also, I mean, if anybody on the show has ever qualified to run for office or just wonders how that works, you literally have to go in, you sit in front of the Republican Party, you sign a statement that says you are a Republican, and you qualify. And then the voters in that primary election choose who they want to represent them on the November ballot. So what they're doing is really taking away the voice of the primary voters and saying the primary voters don't get to choose anymore. A small group of people in the Catoosa County GOP party can choose. So look,
and we've already said that the county parties and the state party are absolutely irrelevant now.
I know they are. I mean, they're struggling, right? I mean, all the stuff that happened in 2020, the president's election, or, you know, where him losing, Governor Kemp, basically the state GOP party sort of went against Governor Kemp. Governor Kemp created a leadership camp or PAC, and now he can raise, and other politicians in Georgia can raise unlimited amounts of money. So they can basically bypass the state GOP party and local GOP parties now.
Oh, it's completely irrelevant. It's being run by the Candace Taylors of the world.
It is.
It's absolutely irrelevant. So I would like to see the state get out of the primaries completely.
I don't disagree with you there. I don't like paying for Democrats to I don't like my tax dollars going to Democrats picking their, you know, picking who wins their primary. And I promise you, I bet Democrats don't like Republicans are using their tax dollars to pay for Republican primaries. Yeah, I don't think it's the best way to do things, but I also don't think the way that Catoosa County GOP doing it works, because they have no criteria for how they're supposedly choosing, you know, their candidates.
Well, right. The criterium has to be set. You know, you have to have, in order to be fair and do it with disparate treatment, is you'd have to ask the same questions of every candidate. And I don't know, binary choices, you know, do you support higher taxes? Yes, no, you know, that sort of stuff. I don't know. The party has no place in it. And look, I'm a lifelong Republican. When I grew up, you know, Family Ties was on TV. I didn't know that Alex P. Keaton, the character that Michael J. Fox played, I didn't know that was satire. like that was just me. I didn't realize that was supposed to be satire and making fun of me. I just thought, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. And we'll talk about qualifying in just a minute. But I mean, the GOP party, again, all you have to do is go in and say you're Republican to be on the ballot. And I think it's the same way with the Democrat Party. I wasn't gonna mention this on the show, but I qualified for county commissioner this week in my district. I left the Republican Party briefly, but when I walked in this week, they also, I've since donated to Republican candidates in my local party and all that kind of good stuff, because I believe in the Republican Party. They didn't say a thing to me when I came in this week. I signed a document. They were as nice as they could be, as cordial as they could be. And that's how it should be, right? And then the primary voters on May 21st will decide if I get a chance to represent them or the two other people that qualified. I didn't go in and they didn't pick apart my voting record as a state rep or what I post on Facebook or anything else. They said, are you a Republican? I said, yes, I am. And they let me on the ballot. Catoosa County's got, you know, this is an experiment being done by Alex Johnson and the GRA, and it's not going to go well. And it's going to end up costing the Catoosa County Republican Party money. And these local people on the board up there may serve some time in jail for this because they're violating the law.
But it's money they don't have.
Yeah, but they're not. Yeah,
is that's money that they should be holding for the primary, or not the primary, but the general
election. Yeah,
is so by them being hard headed, all it's doing is costing them $1,000 an hour.
Times five candidates now. Yeah, so it's costing them $5,000 an hour.
Look, to screw somebody $5,000, I guess that's not bad, but if you're on the receiving end, but you know, I don't understand what backroom deal has been made.
I don't know.
You know, we'll pay the fines for you, whatever. But the rubber really hits the road when you're willing to go to jail for your convictions. I mean, we've got a journalist in jail right now in the United States. I think Catherine Heritage is her name. Well-known reporter, but she's in jail on her convictions. And it'd be interesting to me to see if the Catoosa GOP board has the same conviction, or if, you know, it's easy to pay fines, but it's not your money. But when you're going to lose your Monday through Friday 9 to 5 because you're sitting in jail, yeah, that's something else.
Yep. And we'll see.
So we had qualifying last week. We had 18 Republican primaries, 20 Democratic primaries, 72 general contests.
Yeah, I put that down. It just shows there's a, this is for the Georgia House. There's 180 members. So I like to point out that out of 180 members, there's only, and out of, I think the Republicans have 100 seats roughly, give or take a few. So out of those 100 seats, there's only 18 primary challenges. So 82 Republicans in the state house don't have any primary challenge in May.
It is incredibly difficult to challenge an incumbent.
Oh, totally. But it's only $400 to challenge an incumbent. So, you know, I know. It's a lot more than that if you want to have a chance to win. But it just still shows there's not a lot of competition.
Yeah, if you want to be competitive.
Oh, yeah. If you want to be competitive, it's $50,000 to $75,000.
Well, and I'll tell you, we ran a race against an incumbent and beat her. It was between two candidates, and it was Joseph Gullett who came out on top, and that's perfect. Joseph has done a good job by us. The deal was the recipe is, you know, two people running against the incumbent, and then the whoever loses in the primary coalesces behind the winner, you know, that didn't get 50%, and the support coalesces behind him. And it was a referendum on how bad Paulette was.
Yeah.
And Joseph has since earned his position and all that stuff, but it was really a referendum on what we thought of Paulette.
Yep. No, but it's like you said, it's tough to win a primary. So there's 18 Republican primaries, 20 Democrat. There's 72 general election contests. So over half of the people in the state house right now will not have any challenger in November. And that just shows you that a lot of that comes down to, you know, gerrymandering and setting these districts up where they're either, you know, 60 to 70% Republican or 60, 70% Democrat. It's just there's not a ton of tight contest in Georgia anymore.
And look, I can only really talk about my district, but the Democrats run somebody every election cycle, and it's not because they think they can unseat any of the Republicans that are here. That's just not going to happen. But what it does is it makes those Republicans spend money.
Yep, that's true.
As you know, otherwise you could take money out of your campaign account and give it to other candidates around the state or anything like that. But if you have a Democrat running, you can't do that. You have to keep your guard up, and that's why they do it. It's they'll throw a sacrificial lamb up there just to make sure that the Republican can't give their money away to a district that maybe is more purple.
Yes, I agree.
All right. So speaking of money, we have the $5 billion Rivian plant on hold.
This truck
is the, I mean, good Lord, it's ugly. I don't know anybody who'd want to buy one of these things. I mean, it is ugly as homemade sin. and this was something that Kemp touted, bringing this plant to Georgia and all that stuff. And they got as far as what, grading the site, and basically said, we're going to hold off for a minute.
No, they graded the site. That's the problem, right? Is Kemp made a huge deal about this. Oh, well, they started the process for grading these 2,000-acre site, and the state was paying for a lot of this. They project to spend more than $125 million to buy the 2,000-acre site. And, I mean, I think we've paid, the rough estimates I've seen, this taxpayers have put in about $200 million for this now.
Have you seen their financials?
Yeah, they're terrible.
I mean, I track stock prices and all that stuff. I'm not going to give anybody financial advice, and anything I say about this is not financial advice. But I would rather smack my toe with a ball peen hammer than put money into Rivian.
Yeah, I think the track is terrible. I really do. I think the problem here is the people out in that area when this Rivian plant came on. You know, there was a lot of protest, a lot of people speaking out about it. But you know how the state is when these deals come down. It's kind of like the Hyundai plant down in South Georgia. I mean, the state does anything and everything for these big businesses. And it is irregardless of how anybody locally feels.
First of all, if we had a plant like the Hyundai plant that's just north of Montgomery, yes, that would be an economic boom. It really would. The Hyundai EV plant, I just don't see it. I guess it doesn't really matter what they're building as long as they employ people. I don't want these EV plants. It is my humble opinion that EVs have a very short life expectancy as far as the plants go and things like that, because they are not fiscally sound.
Yep.
You know, these companies, Ford was losing billions on their F-150 Lightnings and their, I don't know any muscle car guy who wanted an electric Mustang.
I've seen one of our friends has one. It looks neat, but I'm like you. I don't think a lot of people want them. I'm just amazed that the state spent almost $200 million on this, and Rivian has pulled out of it, and they don't know when it's going to happen now. So we've got 2,000 acres, which is almost 4 square miles, sitting out there with that's been graded with nothing to go there now.
Right.
I mean, that's what's amazing about this. It really is.
So, U.S. House panel unanimously approves bill that could ban TikTok, as the president is using TikTok in his campaign.
Yeah, and we've talked about this at the state level. So, yeah, there's been a push at the state level to ban TikTok, but this is actually in D.C. And this was a unanimous passage of a bill out of committee to ban TikTok on all electronic devices nationwide. And I think what it ended up happening is they say it's used by about 170 million Americans. They have to spin off their China Link company ByteDance if they want TikTok to be able to remain in the U.S. on phones. So China's,
It doesn't change anything. if they change their name to Clip Clop, or put a shell corporation in, I don't know, Scottsdale, Arizona. I was thinking about you playing golf. If they just put a shell corporation in Scottsdale, Arizona, or something like that, it doesn't change anything. The CCP can still get all that data. I do not TikTok. I know you're kind of more open to it than I am, but I also do see content creators that are. Pretty decent. One is called Mandatory Fun Day. The guy is a green to gold officer in the Army, but he does funny stuff and funny content, but he uses TikTok to do it. Obviously, he doesn't use his government phone to do it. I think he's a reserve officer. All his stuff is created most likely between Facebook, which I don't think Facebook is the shining example of
no, I don't
freedom.
Either.
on Earth. But it's just it's amazing to me that the government has really put their laser focus on TikTok without understanding that the internet moves so much faster than government. So if they say no more TikTok, they change their name. They say it has to be based in the United States. They create a shell corporation. It's not that difficult. The private organizations can move a lot faster than government can.
Yeah,
it's
so this
stupid.
Yes, yeah, so this Congress lady, Kathy McMorris Rogers, said that, quote, "Today we will take the first step in creating long overdue laws to protect Americans from the threat posed by apps controlled by our adversaries, and to send a very strong message that the U.S. will always stand up for our values and freedoms." This is coming from the same lady that voted for the Patriot Act and devoted to continue letting warrantless spying on Americans. It's just amazing. It's like, yeah, we're not going to let you use TikTok, but we're still going to spy on everything you do in your private life.
She has the cojones to say freedom after voting for the Patriot Act.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, and continuation of the Patriot Act, right? Every few years, it's just I don't know how these representatives get away with saying stuff like that. Like they care about people's freedom when they continue this onslaught of government spying on people.
And this is why I'd have a lot of trouble if I ever ran for office, is I have to look myself in the mirror and. As someone who believes in personal freedom.
I think they believe in what they're saying for some reason. I really do. I don't know any other way to explain it. you know what I mean?
Here's another dumbfounding one. North Face, you know, the company that makes $400 jackets.
Yes. I don't have any of those.
I
know you do. You've probably got a couple puffer jackets.
Nope. I have never bought a North Face. Dude, we don't get cold enough in Georgia to justify a $400 jacket.
That is true.
Now, if I buy a $400 jacket, it's not going to be a sporty jacket. It'll be something for dress or, you know, a nice leather jacket, something like that. But it's not about me. If you want a 20% discount at the Northern Face stores, which I've never been to Northern Face store, REI sells them and I've been in there. But if you want a 20%, you have to take a white people are bad class.
Yes, you have to get that. They call it a 20% DEI discount. It says, this test is designed to, quote, foster a deeper understanding of the unique challenges that people of color face when accessing the outdoors, according to the survey. So I guess people of color don't go outside anymore? Is that the deal? I mean, I'm confused.
You know the last time I saw Refrigerator Perry?
Yes, I remember him.
He was on a fishing show because he's a big bass fisherman, and of course he weighs about 400 pounds. That's why they called him Refrigerator Perry.
Yep.
But he was bass fishing with somebody on one of the shows that's watching, like ESPN or whatever it was. I don't know. Because I'm a fishing addict, so you know if I can't actually get out and go do it, it's sort of like methadone to watch other people do it. But he was completely out, you know, he's an outdoorsman. And I see this, especially on lakes. You know, I'm not a big hunter. You know, Matt Lowe could probably talk to me about minorities. But I see people of all races out bass fishing and stuff like that. There's a socioeconomic break when you start talking about saltwater stuff because it is so expensive to do. I like to say it's cheaper to pick up a crack habit than it is to get into offshore fishing.
That's pretty funny.
But you know, we see people of all different racial backgrounds. I mean, how can they possibly say that the Hispanics are not into fishing when that's a huge industry throughout Latin America? It is, and these folks aren't fishing for fun. A lot of times, they're fishing to put food on the table, and to say that brown people can't get in.
This is a quote from him. It says the North Face has always believed the outdoors should be a welcoming, equitable, and safe place for all. This course aims to bring light to the barriers to entry, preventing all people from sharing equally rewarding experiences in the outdoors. I hate when people start talking about equity and equitable and safe place for all. I mean, it sure wasn't safe for Lake and Riley in Athens a couple weeks ago.
You know what? There's no barrier to going out to...
No, there's not. Any park. We've got parks everywhere where I live, and they're all free to get into.
Yeah, where I live, we have Kennesaw Mountain Park.
It may cost $5, hiking, right? Yeah, it's $5
maybe. Something like that. But it's basically free. You have access to history, first of all, which is the Battle of Kennesaw Mountain. You have access to hiking. You have access to seeing the wildlife, and there really is a lot of wildlife that's out there. I mean, I routinely have to stop for deer crossing the road when I drive through the park.
Yep.
It's a ridiculous claim to make.
It is.
It's asinine. And honestly, I will continue not to buy from them. not because of this, because I'm not spending $400 on a puffy jacket.
Yeah, that's it.
I did hear that a conservative went to the class and said he'll never get that hour back, basically.
Oh, goodness.
So, how sexy are you, Ken? Are you like three sausages
and a piece of bacon? That's funny.
The type of food you eat makes you more attractive.
Yes, this is actually good news probably for me and you. They say if you eat this came out of England, but they said if you eat a full English breakfast, then it's good news for you. It says you are more attractive if you eat sausage, bacon, toast, beans, eggs, hash browns, and tomatoes to women. So you know, this combination of fats and proteins and dairies and meats is a real hit for men with the ladies. And then they said if you eat croissants, waffles, pancakes, pastries, or muffins, you're less attractive.
I will say this. I think the correlation is incorrect, but the conclusion is. Nobody wants to date a vegan.
That is true.
How do you know you're at a party with a vegan or a CrossFitter?
Because they'll tell you.
Exactly. Nobody wants to date everybody. A vegan. Yeah, no one wants to date a vegan. Have you ever been to lunch with a vegan?
No, I try not to.
Excuse me. Do you have a vegan option for this? Like, yeah, your option is to get the hell out. I don't care what anybody does. I've got friends who are gluten-free because of what it does to their bodies and all that stuff. And that's fine. And they don't make a big deal out of it. Vegans, however, vegans want to make sure that the three tables next to them here say, I'm a vegan. Do you have any options for me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A glass of water. I don't think it's the diet as much as not being a D-bag.
I know.
And yeah, it's, I'm a vegan. Shut up. All that means is you have no upper body strength. I suggest you shut up.
That's funny.
This is a good time to remind you that these are our opinions and not those of anyone, not on the show or any respective company for which we may work, own, or otherwise associate ourselves with on a regular or irregular basis. Also, you can find other episodes and relevant stories over the GeorgiaVirtue.com. I got the mule this week.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
All right. So a bureaucrat at the VA decided, and everybody's in this picture. It is the VJ Day, Victory in Japan Day, 1946-ish? 1945, somewhere around there, where a sailor takes a nurse and dips her down, gives her a kiss. And this bureaucrat decided to pull all those portraits, many of which were signed by the nurse that are in there, that was in the picture, saying it was a non-consensual act.
I'm dumbfounded.
Luckily, the head of the VA saw this. He's like, "Oh hell no," and reversed it. But for this picture has been around for 80 years. 80 years. She, even her granddaughter, and I saw interviews with her before she died and all that stuff. She was very proud to be in that picture. Her granddaughter said she was autographing pictures of that till the day she died. Her granddaughter also says she has an autographed picture that her grandmother and the sailor signed.
Right.
They were not romantically involved. They went their separate ways and all that stuff. She was not offended. He was not offended. What in the hell was this bureaucrat thinking?
No clue. And this bureaucrat's have been a failure pretty much wherever they've gone. They ruined a hospital out in St. Louis, and then they went to the Philippines. I mean, this lady's a disaster.
Well, that's the other problem with government is, like, a private organization would have canned her ass.
I know.
A long time
she's still
ago.
There. Still got a job.
Yeah, and probably making a six-figure income.
Yep.
Coming up with things like that's not a consensual act. Shh. Now look, if he got done kissing her and pulled her back up from the dip and smacked his face, okay, all right. Now we know it's not a consensual act. She had no problem with it.
Yep.
All right, so I have done a victory kiss before. It was after a Buffett concert, and it didn't mean anything. It was closed-lipped. It was just being funny. So, and you don't. He's not grabbing her by the privates. He's not copying a feel. He doesn't have his hand full of her butt or anything like that. He was overjoyed with the news that the war was over. So it's just stupid.
Yep.
Just stupid.
It is. It's idiotic.
All right, Kenny, how do we push liberals to the right? Enact liberal policies.
Yeah, this was a good one. And, you know, so San Francisco this week or last week, they passed actually three initiatives on the ballot. They were propositions. Well, there were two main ones, Proposition E and F. One of them requires drug screening for welfare recipients, and the other one gives police more surveillance power and less oversight. So I
wouldn't really call that right wing as a right winger who believes in the Fourth Amendment.
No, but the point is San Francisco has gone so far hard left over the last few years that it's become, I mean, we've talked about it on the show before. So for the Democratic mayor out there, London Breed, London is actually up for re-election in November. The mayor sponsored these initiatives and also claimed victory on election night. I mean, it just shows they're starting, they know how bad San Francisco's got. And now they're saying we have got to give more money to the police for more surveillance power and more, and just to take care of what's going on in San Francisco, right? I mean, companies are closing, people are moving out of downtown San Francisco. We talked about it before, they've got an app now where if you see where a human has used a bathroom on a sidewalk, you take a picture of it, send it in, and somebody comes out and cleans it up. I mean, that's how bad it's gotten out there.
This is how professional I've become on the show. Let me give you a callback. North Face is closing this month its store in San Francisco, the original store for North Face.
Because nobody wants to stay there anymore. So I think this mayor has figured out that we have got to clean it up because it's hurting tourism. You know, not as many people are coming out. All these stores are closing down, so they're getting less tax dollars. And then they're just starting to feel unsafe.
And San Francisco is a beautiful city.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, I've been quite a few times on business and stuff. It's a great city.
And I went as a kid, you know, again, you know, I kind of share a childhood and the fact that we're both Delta brats. But San Francisco is a beautiful city. Going down to the pier and seeing the fishmongers and all that stuff. It's a beautiful city.
It's incredible.
It's a wonderful city.
Yeah, you see the seals laying out there, like right, you know, making their seal noises and
making their seal noises.
No, it is a great city.
No, it's fantastic, and you know their politics are their own. But I'm not going to step over a pile of human crap in order to get to Pier. What is it, Pier 42, whatever.
Yeah, I haven't even. Over there. Yeah, I've wanted to go for the last couple of years, but I'm not going until they clean the place up.
It's just they can clean it up for China.
Yep. So it's interesting that, yeah, this story came out last week where the people in San Francisco actually voted more Republican type policies. And then I don't have this story on the outline, but I don't know, you saw the New York governor, Kathy Hochul. She announced plans last Wednesday to send a National Guard into the New York subway system to help police, you know, conduct random searches of riders and search for weapons, because there's been a lot of crime in New York City. It's like, so these liberal cities like New York and San Francisco are finally figuring out that you just can't cut back on a number of police that you have, and you can't just disregard all this crime that's going on, or it's going to hurt your city.
Now, look, I was never a fan of stop and frisk, which is a Giuliani thing.
Yeah, that was a Giuliani thing, yep.
But it did clean up Times Square. Do I agree with the policy? No.
No, I agree.
I happen to believe in the Fourth Amendment, and whatever's on me is my business, not yours. But, you know, when Times Square was the worst, when you had hookers and drug dealers and everything else walking around Times Square, Giuliani cleaned that up, and that's what endeared him to the people. Of course, 9/11 happened while he was mayor, and he became America's mayor. And all that stuff, but it was those type of policies that endeared him to the people of New York.
Yep.
And for New York City to have a Republican mayor for 8 years is amazing. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't happen. And I guess what's happening in San Fran is these voters are looking at that. They're looking at, you know, how did Giuliani clean up New York City? Well, he created a police state.
He did. I mean,
normally it's something that you and I would rail against, but it's hard to disagree with the results.
Yep.
You know, it's tough. It's just like Tucker saying how clean the subway is in Moscow. And like, well, yeah, they live in a police state.
No, they live in a police state. Yep. No, I thought the New York story was very interesting. It's 750 members of National Guard are going to be there to just monitor the subways now. Yeah, times have definitely changed when the Democrat governors are deploying National Guard to help with crime.
And I told you how disgusted I am with the picture they keep showing over and over and over. It's of two National Guard members wearing beards.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's called a shaving profile. And the non-commissioned officer in me comes out, and it just makes my eye twitch. And well, look, I served.
You were
I
Army, right? Were you Army, yeah, or Marines? Army, okay.
Army.
I hung out with a Marine.
Why do you want to insult me like that?
Well, I hung out with a guy in the Marines yesterday, and he said you Army guys are okay. He described Air Force people as cute. That's how he described people in the Air Force. I thought that was funny.
Ah, man, look, it's having been in special operations, we had what's called relaxed grooming standards. I was so young. I'm not particularly hairy. It takes me like 3 weeks to grow a beard. So when they gave us relaxed grooming standards to go overseas, which, you know, is what happened, I couldn't grow anything besides a bad teenage mustache, like what most people could grow at, like, you know, 13. But that's one thing. But for them to be in uniform, in essentially in garrison, which means home, you know, you're at home, to be wearing a beard, and it's again, it'd be one thing if it was tightly clipped or anything else, but the non-commissioned officer in me my eye starts to twitch. I'm like, you filthy bastard, get a razor.
Yeah,
but that point aside, it is interesting that they finally figured out that guns and boots on the ground equals less crime.
Yep, 100%.
Now, if they would just authorize ordinary citizens to carry their own personal protection, it would drop off dramatically.
Yep.
Because we know that an armed society is a polite society.
No doubt. No doubt. I don't know if that's coming anytime soon, though. Not in New York, anyway, or D.C.
Well, the stuff that you see in Westerns, guys talking smack and all that stuff, that really didn't happen. It was a fairly polite society because everybody had a sidearm. And we know that because if calling somebody an SOB could result in you having to defend yourself with lead, you probably would think twice before calling somebody a name.
Yep.
And I believe we've lost that in our society. We've lost the repercussions to running your mouth. We've lost the repercussions to petty theft and things like that. Hell, New York is still prosecuting the guy that killed the old boy for stealing something on the subway, or just being an asshole on the subway is what's really what it was. And he didn't even intend to kill him.
Yep.
But he's still being prosecuted. So that's the sort of stuff that needs to change. Is Hochul needs to pardon this guy and say, look, he was defending other people on the train. He was doing the right thing, and pardon him because it's costing him, hundreds of thousands of dollars to defend himself for an act that you and I would have done naturally.
Yep, exactly.
And if you and I were riding MARTA and this happened, it wouldn't even be a thing.
I know.
Well, maybe in city of Atlanta city, or in Fulton County, yeah, maybe Fannie might come after me. I mean, because she doesn't like me at all. I don't blame her. She's one of a list of many women who don't like me. Well, Kenny, you got any closing thoughts?
Oh, well, voting, I guess. We'll have to give an update on Georgia. As this episode drops, I'll be going to the polls the next day, I think. Trump's going to win handily in our state, and it sounds like it is Biden against Trump moving forward. So what have we got, 7 months left until the election, 7-8 months left? It's going to be interesting to see what everybody, which direction everybody goes. And then, all these local races that are going on, people running for state rep, state house, mayor, county commissioners, sheriffs, they've got 10 weeks. So you better get out there and start knocking on doors and putting signs out and raising some money if you want to win. So I always like watching all the stuff that's going on. It's a fun time of the year.
Well, we have a big sheriff's race going on out here between two very good men. I like both of them. Man, it really is tough when you like and respect both candidates.
I know. Local races are hard because everybody's friends with everybody. And that's what makes them tough. It's hard for me to even ask for somebody to put up a sign because that person may be friends with a family member of the other person running, and you don't want to, I mean, the last thing you want to do is create for an election. The last thing you want to do is create situations where people get upset with each other. So I think local is the hardest to run because of that.
Well, Gary Gulledge, our outgoing sheriff, he's leaving giant shoes to fill. When the county commission offered to, build him a new jail, he said, no, I want it to be a referendum. He wanted the taxpayers of Paulding County, the citizens of Paulding County, to give him his new jail, and we did. The old jail was very outdated. Chad Hunton, who is running and is a friend of mine and serves on the board of Shepherd's Rest with me, he gave me a tour around the new jail, and it's a very, I shouldn't say nice facility.
Right.
Because I still wouldn't want to be in there. But it is leaps and bounds above the old one, which was 20 years past its life expectancy. But Gary is leaving some very, very big shoes to fill. And I wish both of them luck. My personal choice is Chad Hunton. It doesn't mean that I don't like Ashley. Ashley Henson, who is the PAO, the public affairs officer.
That's a tough part. You can like both of the people, but you have to make a choice, you know, to vote on somebody and potentially support somebody. So that's what makes these local elections so difficult, is we're all pretty much friends locally. So they're not easy. They're not easy to run.
So I'll leave that as my closing thought, that I agree with you that the local elections are the toughest, because, you know, we all go have happy hour with each other. We're all friends.
Right. You see each other, you know, at the breakfast tables. Yep, it is tough.
Yeah, I say happy hour, you say breakfast. That's we'll go show you're a better guy than I am.
We got them both covered.
Well, for Eric Cumby, our editor, who takes our awful audio and turns it into something you can listen to, for Ken Pullen, candidate, where are you, Pike County?
Yeah, Pike County.
Down in Pike County.
South
Dave Roberts. I'm Dave Roberts, not a candidate for anything, thankfully. Have a great week. Catch me howling at the moon.